to this time of worship together. We pray that God will move in your heart and your mind as you share in worship and hear his word this morning. In the spirit, you will see a small list of people who are not well, and I would draw your attention to the most recent, who is David Lunt, who has been spending some days in hospital. And the last word for me is that he is improving and will perhaps come home tomorrow. So that's David Lunt. Many of you might know his wife Nancy through the women's ministries. And so please pray for them. Yesterday was our young people's divisional music festival. Actually, there are three held in our division, and our youth participated in the one at Oshawa Temple yesterday. And I want to say that our singing company, Step Up Band, and YP Band did a fantastic job yesterday. Yes, let's give them a hand. All right. I want to say thank you to the leader of each group and to all of the adults who helped out in one way or another. Thank you very much. A lot of work goes into preparing our young people for these. But these events are like milestones in the lives of our young people and our young musicians. So thank you to all who made that happen. We're very proud of all of you. Two monthly events are coming up this week. One is the Women's Coffee Break on Wednesday morning. There's a notice in the spirit, and our guest this week is a handbell choir from St. Andrew's Church. So if you haven't come before to this, if you're a woman, that is, and you haven't come to this before, you are more than welcome to come to this event and to bring a friend with you. And it's for all ages of women, so please consider coming. It's a very uplifting event once a month. And also the Thursday night out, the eat out night for people, there's a notice in here as well. So please take note of that and come, even if you haven't come before. Make this your first time. Next Sunday, my husband's going to make the next announcement, but I just want to say that, you know, in making these announcements for special events, my husband and I have used big brown paper bags, pathetic little lunch bags, footballs, spears, what else? Well, last week, when we saw the video about Partners in Mission and Major Jillian Brown in the video, what did she present? A cow. There's no way we can outdo that. So anyhow, let's hope that Ron can do a good job with his little lunch bag.
Well, let me introduce to you once again my very pathetic little lunch bag, and here it is. And I'm just going to take a look at it and open it up and see what's in there. And oh, yeah, my health food is still there. My athletic food from last week. You remember my chocolate chip cookies? There's still a few in there. That's good. And so I didn't know what to drink, so I thought I'd buy a sport drink for as I get ready for the Pan Am Games presentation next week. So here's my sport drink. And I was really trying to figure out what I could throw today. And last week I threw a spear, and it's nice to see Kevin still alive this morning. And so I thought, well, what other things do they throw at the Pan Am Games? And I thought, shot put. And I wanted to bring a shot put to come and throw this morning, but I couldn't pick it up. So, but this is all in preparation for the presentation that we're going to get from Major Gord Armstrong next week, next Sunday after church. Now, at retreat this week, Major Armstrong was just given a kind of a snippet of some of his presentation. I tell you, it's going to be inspirational. It's going to be exciting. The world is coming to our feet. So we'd really like to invite you to come and join us. Our MAC team will be here because we want to decide how, as a core, that we can respond to all that's being offered. And you will see that there's going to be a huge wide variety of ways we can be part of this as a core, but also as individuals. So it's something you won't want to miss. One of the things I didn't do last week and I forgot to do was to just put a little sign-up sheet up there. So to give you to give us an idea of how many people might be there, just sign up there. We'll put the sign-up again next week. If you're not signed up, doesn't mean you can't come. We just want to make sure we have enough coffee and tea for you. That's all. So sign up for that. It'll be a wonderful time. And again, we often ask the Lord to bring people to us. Well, he is, from around the world. And he's bringing people to us, and we want to be ready, don't we, to do God's work as we prepare.
It's time for you to finish and me to do my next announcement. Oh, I have one more.
Oh, I thought I was going to introduce
you. Will.
The
you guests. Will after this. We do communicate periodically. I have one more announcement, and that is that on Saturday, March 7th, is our special family event at the Core, another special family event, Lego Lattes and Chocolate. And this is an event for the whole church family. And one of the main purposes for having these events is so that we can make stronger connections with each other in our church family, and that we can also make connections with people who come in new to our congregation, or new through family services, through daycare, and through our Tuesday night music program. It gives us a chance to make good connections with those people as well. So this is a really fun time where we're going to build a Lego city. Everyone age 4 and up can participate in building this Lego city. There are 75 spots for that. If there are children under the age of 4, there will be mega blocks provided for them in another area of the multipurpose room where they can build their own city, which I would love to see. If you want to come but don't want to participate in the Lego activity, you still come. You don't have to participate in that. But please still register so we know how many to prepare for. So in the foyer, there is a sign-up place for you to register for this event. And it's filling up fast, especially in terms of those who want to participate in the Lego City. So make sure you register today, and it'll be in the foyer after the service. Thank you.
It's my turn again. Thank you. Truthfully, I think she just forgot to give that announcement.
I go by date.
Oh. Well, it's really great this morning because we are going to launch our World Missions campaign for this core. World Missions is one of the great privileges we have as a Salvation Army to support our brothers and sisters doing Salvation Army's work around the world. Now, this is something close to Donna's and my heart, simply because we've had opportunity to serve in other places around the world. It's also close to my heart because my first memories of life were as a missionary's kid in Hong Kong. And even back then, it was called self-denial back then, but I remember getting packages and just kindnesses from my colleagues in Canada, even the little boy, as my youngest memories. And so we want to make a strong commitment in this core to Partners in Mission. You saw the introductory tape with the starring the cows and with Major Jillian as the co-star. And but we'll be given opportunity of seeing snippets of this every Sunday right through our Partners in Mission campaign until June the 7th, when we will be having our in-gathering offering. We're very fortunate to have Jillian and Dennis Brown as soldiers in this corps. Very fortunate. And it's great that Jillian is available to be here this morning and to launch off. Jillian, as you know, is a director of World Missions, and she travels all around the world, visits just about everywhere in the world where the Army in Canada and Bermuda operate. And she has a wealth of knowledge. She herself has lived overseas and is very well qualified to do this. Some of the exciting stories she tells and heartwarming stories she tells is wonderful. We're looking forward to her ministry this morning. But with her also is Dennis, who's the Assistant Property Secretary. Now, one of my first recollections of Dennis was when he was the Community Family Services Director, is that what you were called here back then? When we were cadets. And Donna and I were appointed to Scarborough to get our community family services training under the one and only Dennis Brown. And so either you can thank him or you can blame him. It's up to you. You make the decision. But since then, they've been wonderful Salvation Army officers. I have to say publicly that they are terrific supporters of this corps as officer soldiers. And we're very, very grateful. And I'm so thankful that they're going to be here to minister to us today. Let's greet them, shall we? Now we'll hear from the worship team as we launch our meeting.
We're excited this morning for our thoughts to take a walk down a global path where we think about what the Salvation Army is doing, not just in our small corner, but around the world. And so this morning, while here in our part of the world, we stand here and we claim Jesus as the hope who lives in us, as the rock in whom we trust, as the light shining for us to see. We recognize that our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are also claiming those very same truths. We are one family. We are the bride of Christ. We are his beloved. And no matter where we are, all over the world, we stand together as one family. And so we think around the world this morning of our brothers and sisters as part of that same family of Christ. Let's stand together and let's celebrate Jesus, the hope of the nations.
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead. For all who mourn, you are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains.
I'm going to encourage encourage you to stay standing, because the next song that we're going to sing is a really happy song as well. And it's a song that contains Scripture's challenge. One of Jesus' greatest, the command Jesus said was the greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If this is a new one for you, it repeats itself a fair bit. And so the melody, once you catch on to it, I'm sure you'll be able to join in with us. So we encourage you to join this happy song with us as we sing together and continue to worship.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Same melody, different words.
I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. With all my heart.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have this opportunity this morning to meet in this place and to bow down and worship before you. Come before you, the awesome God who loves us so much that you sent your Son for us to pay the price of sin, that we may be reconnected and have a personal relationship with you. And so, Lord God, we just put aside everything that might hinder our worship with you this morning. We put it aside and we give you this time that we might hear from you this morning. And Lord, we think of all of the salvationists around the world and the incredible work that is being done, the hands and feet of God that are spreading throughout the nations. Those people who, through personal sacrifice of their own and putting themselves in harm's way to serve you and to serve people who are in need of you. We think of them today. We rejoice because of their willingness and the call upon their lives to be your servants in their countries. And so we think of them and we pray for them. We pray for their strength. We pray for their health. We pray for their families. We pray for the ministry, that your voice would be heard loud and clear throughout these countries and throughout the world. And so, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for this opportunity. And in the weeks ahead, as we continue to think of our partners around the world, allow us, Lord, to give freely to those ministries and be generous in our giving and be generous in our prayers for them and our prayer support for them. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's such a privilege for me to be able to share with you this morning. I do want to apologize right from the start. I've been struggling again with a cold. Somehow, through this past winter months, I seem to be cycling back into struggling with the cold over and over again. So some of that is I can't always hear very well, but I have had, I hope you can hear me well enough. When this opportunity came, one of the things that Ron and Donna had mentioned is that they would like, instead of using one of the videos that we have, and you'll be seeing them, and those are really, really insightful and short and tell stories, is that I might just provide a bit of an update of some of the things that the Canada and Bermuda Territory is involved in internationally as we support the work of the International Army. I would say it's just such a great privilege for me to have been in this appointment. The Army's kind of forgotten about me for a little while, so I'm into my 9th year in this appointment, which has been a real privilege. I know that around the corner, they're not going to forget about me for too long, but for while I'm doing this, it's just been such a privilege. And our territory is involved in supporting and empowering projects around the world in about 53 countries. And the relationship that we have with territories has built up over the years so that we have some really strong bonds. I wanted to begin with Liberia. I wanted to begin with Liberia because if you've been following the news, you're aware that now, although the Ebola epidemic isn't entirely subsided and over, the number of cases have dropped, and so children have been able to go back to school. Schools closed in about August. It took quite a while for the country itself to come to terms with the Ebola virus. And so even the reporting was slow, things that were happening were slow, but the Salvation Army has been really one of the organizations and churches that have been very much involved in supporting, not from the medical end, but if you're involved in any crisis, you'll know that while there's sort of that key point of entry, which in the Ebola epidemic was the medical response and the need for that, it always has this effect on almost every other thing. So schools were closed, farmers weren't getting things to market, markets were being closed. The way in which people worshipped was changing. It's a culture where people would greet each other warmly. Much of Africa is that way. I mean, I've often said, you know, it'd be lovely to see us moving a little bit more when we sing, but that's even just part of their whole expression. And so people would have to dip their hands and their feet into chlorine, and then you didn't greet one another. And it's just had such a change in just the way in which they relate to one another, and they're still coming to terms with what that means in the long term. But now that the schools have opened, I've invited you in this first slide just to remember the Salvation Army has many schools. We have 15 sort of official schools, but most corps have a school somehow connected with them. And parents are hesitant to send their children back to school. They're wanting to make sure that it's been completely sanitized, that everything has been ready. There's lots of training happening. All of our teachers have gone through training. So lots has been done to prepare the way. But now we really need to encourage the children to come back. And our territory is going to be involved in responding to the orphans and vulnerable children. And that's where our teachers are going to be playing a role, helping us to kind of assess how many children have been left orphaned and how best we can respond. The next slide is in Syria. If you follow the news, again, you're so aware that things have continued to happen in that part of the world. Now, the Salvation Army doesn't have a presence in a number of countries, and Syria is one of them, and we don't have a presence in Jordan. However, the Salvation Army always tries to find a way, if they've been invited, to somehow respond and be involved. And so there was a lot of interest for us to be part of responding to the refugees that had fled Syria and were now in Jordan. And we worked with the Lutheran World Federation, and that's been a good partnership. And there's some more ongoing things that are happening. We're hoping that we can raise some further funds. If we can move to the next slide. Our territory has been known to be at the forefront of responding to a lot of disasters, especially those disasters that don't end up in our paper and where there isn't a lot of fundraising happening. We have set aside a disaster reserve, and that's provided us with some very unique opportunities to come alongside territories that are struggling. And recently, Malawi has been struggling with flooding, and our territory has been involved in helping to meet the needs, providing some basic supplies, providing some response. One of the great things when you visit the Salvation Army internationally is to recognize that everything is done through the church. It truly is an integrated mission. And so it's not offering a blanket or a cup of cold water in Jesus' name without there being some opportunity to also perhaps share that along with the water that's being provided, there is the living water that we seek to introduce people to. And so it's a great privilege. And there are always, almost every other week, we're receiving reports of another disaster in another part of the world and being asked to provide some response. We've also been very much involved in disaster preparation, because after a while you start to realize some parts of the world see disasters on a regular basis, but how can we help churches? How can we help local officers to be prepared and to be involved and respond quickly and empower and enable them? Mother and child health has become, which is the next slide, has become one of our key priorities of our office. You'll know that if you've been watching some announcements by the Canadian government, this is one of the key focus of the Canadian government. Harper has made this one of his international platforms, is that Canada is involved in responding to mother and child health, making sure that more survive through labor and childbirth, and also in those first 5 years of life. And we will be doing a major project in Malawi, in the Upper Shiri Valley, and we're delighted that we've kind of got lots of local partners involved. A peanut butter factory, so that there will be nutrients provided for severely malnourished children, and Foundations for Farming, or Farming God's Way, which will be helping to increase long-term the crops that are involved. We're already involved in a mother and child project in the Kenya West, up in a very rural area, and we will be doing some further projects in Zimbabwe. An update on Haiti. Haiti, you might be aware, has been continuing to go through some political unrest. That's kind of set some things back a little, but we're really pleased. We've just been able to celebrate that we've built 100 houses. And while that might seem like a small thing, it's actually a major thing in comparison to many of the organizations that are working in Haiti. It's not been an easy country to see some of these successes. More than 1,500 have graduated from our vocational training. Hundreds have received microcredit. Hundreds are involved in our agricultural projects. One of the partners that we have is the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And the Canadian Food Grains Bank is an association of 15 church houses. And the Salvation Army is very active in the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And that provides us with some real opportunities to respond with agricultural projects. Through the Food Grains Bank, we've been able to also develop a very unique relationship with the Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. And we're doing a significant project in agriculture in Bangladesh. And if you've been following the news, it too is one of those countries that right now is in the midst of political unrest. So we've been following up what's happening as we've been training people and providing some funding for local farmers to be able to increase their produce. And then there are always new opportunities. And one of the new opportunities that has presented itself to us has been to support the work in Cambodia. It's not one of our partner territories, but it is a territory that is through Korea. I hadn't realized until my brother just recently came back from Cambodia just how strong the link is between Korea and Cambodia, not something I had naturally assumed. But the Salvation Army in Korea is very much involved in supporting the work in Cambodia. And just recently, a second group of officers have been appointed to Cambodia, and they're doing a lot of work with young people who have been bereft by parents wanting them to have a better opportunity in life, but kind of leaving them very much on their own to find their way. And so if that's an opportunity you're interested in, let me know, but because we're looking at a three-year project in Cambodia. The song that Ron has been preaching on and that we've been following up throughout these past weeks, "O Boundless Salvation," has the one line, "The whole world redeeming," which we'll see in the next slide. "O fullness of mercy, Christ brought from above, the whole world redeeming." Salvation Army has such a unique opportunity to minister around the world, to bring the message of Christ's love and his mercy and his grace that is free for all of us just to respond. God bless you.
Thanks, Jill. And on exactly that note, we're going to turn to song number 833. It'll be up on the screen. And it speaks exactly to this vision of the world. It's perhaps not one we've sung often, but it's a majestic song. We've caught the vision splendid of a world which is to be when the pardoning love of Jesus freely flows from sea to sea. When all men from strife and anger, greed and selfishness are free, when the nations live together in sweet peace and harmony, which of course refers to the time when Jesus returns. But in the meantime, the kingdom of God is among us, and we can do God's work to build that kingdom, that so we have the vision of that day in the future, and we have our task, our work to do now. Let's have the words up. And we'll sing together, "We've Caught the Vision Splendid." Together, because I think this is a verse where we make a commitment together to join in this process. "We would help to build the city of our God, so wondrous fair. Give our time, bring all our talents, and each gift of beauty rare. Powers of mind and strength of purpose, days of labor, nights of strain,
that God's will may be accomplished, o'er the kingdoms he shall reign.
So we'll sing verse 2 and verse 3 together.
We would help to build a city of our God's beloved Christian. Give our time, bring all our talents, let each gift of beauty pray. Powers abundant, strength of purpose, days of
Please be seated. And we'll look to the scripture now. We'll look to 1 John chapter 3, and we're actually going to start at verse 11 and go to verse 24. And if you're using the Bibles that are in the pew, it's page 863. Hopefully. But it's 1 John chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 11. Sorry, we'll leave that. Chapter 3, starting at verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. But this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything that we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us. May God bless us and speak to us through his word this morning.
Thank you. Are you getting a bit of glimpse of the world? Wonderful mission that we're part of. Sometimes we get isolated, friends, in our thinking. And we think it's all about Scarborough Citadel. But we belong to an incredible Salvation Army that whose spheres of ministry reach well beyond this place, and we get to be part of that. What a wonderful privilege. And part of that is to bring our offerings. And so I'd invite the ushers to come forward for prayer. And as they do so, I want to just say one of the habits that Donna and I have gotten into since, well, as long as I can remember. We've been tithing our whole lives, and there's that top part where you put your regular tithe and offering that God speaks to you, you know, 10, 15%. And but then there's other lines there, and Don and I made a habit of particularly the lines of home missions and of world missions, of putting something a little bit every single week. And we don't leave those lines empty. And it's amazing when you just put a few dollars in each of those lines, how at the end of the year, God multiplies that in quite a nice, significant offering. And then when we come to the June the 7th, to the offering, then we don't have to worry that, oh, we haven't given anything all year. And we're able to then add more to that. And it's amazing. Let me tell you, friends, it's amazing how God multiplies that kind of giving. And so I want you to think about that and pray about that. Even as we're going into our home, our world missions, before we get into the main offering, that you think about, even over this time, if you haven't done it, try it. Just over these next 10 or 15 weeks, put a little bit into that, under that line, and then you'll be surprised what God will say to you, because you will find the joy of giving in a way you've never found it before. So I'm just giving you my testimony and asking that God will work through it. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you so much for the provision you give to us. And we know that in this congregation there are those who have much and those who have little. And yet, as we commit ourselves to you, you will take what we have and what we give, and you will multiply it for your purposes. I think of specifically right now today of our colleagues working in your name around the world to do the work of the army in ways that we can't do ourselves, but that we can contribute to by your provision to us. And so, God, as we lay our offering on the offering plate this morning, we pray that you will bless it for your purposes and multiply it in accordance to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know if you recognized the tune. It goes with words that Albert Orsborn wrote, and the last verse says, "Light, life, and lover in that healing fountain, all that I require to cleanse me and restore, flow through my soul, redeem its desert places, and make a garden there for the Lord I adore." And that plea for God to work, and that sense of God being able to work and heal in our lives is something marvelous. And now I just need a couple of minutes with the young people. So those who are going to go out to their Promised Land teaching in a minute, could you come down? I need your help. We should all be in such a hurry to go out and hear from the Lord. Oh, Bud's still here. It's also nice to know that some are happy to stay with us. We're going to sing one more time. It's number 170, if you'd like to use the songbook, but it'll appear up on the screen momentarily. They shall come from the east, they shall come from the west, and sit down at the kingdom of God. This comes from a musical that was written a number of years, and it pictures everybody arriving in heaven and sitting down together, because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever we come from, wherever we are living. So I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, and we'll sing these verses together. Brothers and sisters throughout the world, some have tough situations. Sometimes we have tough situations. And the last verse speaks of that. Out of great tribulation to triumph and rest, hallelujah, they'll sit down in the kingdom of God. Let's sing this third verse together before Jillian comes and brings us something from God's word.
They shall come.
I want to especially acknowledge that my son Ray is here, along with his fiance and her mother, Ray, Julissa, and Marva, and I'm just so delighted that they are here. I had said to Ray earlier that I was just not feeling very ready for today. I mean, part of it is, you know, when you have a cold, you feel like you've got cotton balls in your head. And your hearing isn't so good, and, well, my seeing has never been good. And so you kind of feel like, oh, just pray that whatever the Lord has put on my heart to share doesn't come out as fuzzy as cotton balls. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it is alive and fresh, and that it speaks to us and challenges us. And so we pray that we might have ears and hearts ready to listen and to obey, and that you will have freedom with your Spirit among us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 3 and the passage that was read to us earlier. This is a passage I've been returning to over the past number of weeks and a few times because I've just found it so challenging. Throughout the past year and a half, I've been doing a lot of Bible study and reading on hospitality, and then, you know, God led me to this passage on loving one another. I would say one of the experiences and privileges that I have had in traveling has been to learn from my colleagues and my friends around the world what it means to love one another. Certainly what it means to be hospitable, because they are always so generous with all that they have, but also what it means to love one another. I mentioned earlier the number of places where there is conflict and civil war and problems, and Liberia is one that has so touched my heart. And Liberia went through years and years of civil war, and then they tried to go through a truth and reconciliation, which didn't work, that just ended up being because it was civil war, it was neighbor against neighbor, bring your neighbor in and sit down and have a meal together and then move on with your life. And it was a violent war, and there were child soldiers involved, and for many of them, as they share with you, the truth and reconciliation simply did not answer all what their heart was saying. And then when you talk to the officers who themselves were caught by rebel soldiers and held behind lines, and you talk to them about how have you moved on, how do you love one another, they just keep saying, go back to God's word, Jillian. It's there. Love one another. And so this passage has been just a personal challenge to me. John begins. He's actually written about loving one another a number of times in these letters. These letters that he's been writing is because some false teachers have come in to the church. And they've been talking about sin in a way that they've wanted to water it down. They've talked about righteousness in a way in which they've wanted to water it down. And they've also suggested that it's not necessary to love one another. And so they were encouraging the shunning and shaming and all of that that was happening within the church. And John repeatedly in his letter says, love one another. This isn't a new commandment. I'm not saying something new. And indeed, if we go back into Scripture, we can see how often God, even in the Old Testament, spoke about loving and remembering the orphans, the widows, how he taught them how to have times of forgiveness, how he taught them how to leave things in their field so that others could come and have the sense of getting their own harvest. And so John is saying this isn't new, and yet he says it is new. And it's new because it's been revealed in Jesus Christ. And so he goes on, later on, we'll pick up on that, where he talks about how Jesus has shown love in a new way. But he begins in verse 11 with that, and then he makes a reference to an Old Testament story of Cain and Abel. And it just seems so contradictory to be talking about love and then to be talking about two brothers that didn't get along, and one kills the other. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to Genesis chapter 4, the story is recorded there in Genesis chapter 4. There's a lot that's taken place between Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4 that we really don't know all what happened. Because when Genesis chapter 4 begins, we sense that there's already been some teaching and instruction by God. In Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve have a son, and they name their son Cain. And then they have a second son, Abel. Now, Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a sheep farmer. He raised cattle. And then we read that they go and make an offering. And that's what I mean, that there's a part that's missing. Because somewhere in this story, there must have been a moment where God was providing some teaching and instruction about how they now had to come before him. You know, you wonder the kinds of stories that Adam and Eve must have shared with Cain and Abel. The stories of the garden, the stories of creation at perfection, the stories of the animals. I mean, and Adam maybe telling his sons the story of how he had to name all the animals, and maybe having to explain to his sons how come he named some animals what he did. I mean, there must have been an awful lot of very interesting discussion. But they understood that things had changed. That whereas at the beginning, they would walk in the evening with God himself, and there was this intimacy and there was this relationship, sin has changed it all. And now they know that they can't just come before God without bringing an offering. Now, we're not yet at all of the instruction of the offerings, but they know enough to bring an offering. And this is where things go very wrong for Cain and Abel. Because we read that Cain brought part of his harvest, and we read that Abel gave an offering to the Lord that was his firstborn. There's a subtle difference there. And that sort of becomes the crux of some of the problem. And that becomes part of what we come to understand of why John is referring to Cain and Abel. It's not just the hatred bit, it's all of the attitude that is part and parcel of it. Because Cain's kind of half-hearted. He's bringing his offering, but maybe those carrots weren't the best looking. They've kind of, you know, got that crack down the middle that we see in some of those carrots. Maybe the tomato had gone a little soft. I mean, he just brought some of his offering. He knew he needed to bring an offering, but he was going to do what he wanted, not maybe what God asked for. He was going to just approach God, and God just had to accept it as this is what he was going to do. Abel brought his very best. Now then we go on to read that God accepted Abel's offering but didn't accept Cain's. And we don't know quite exactly what that meant, but probably there was fire from heaven. And one was accepted and the other was left there. And then we read that Cain, he's a little annoyed and he gets a bit sulky. And God sees that anger, that sulkiness, and God asks him. And it's obvious there that they knew the right thing because God said, you did the wrong thing. And now, I mean, you can get a smile on your face if you do the right thing. And then we read later on, and we don't again know how much time passed, that Cain invites Abel to go out for a walk with him. And did he start that walk? planning to kill his brother? Or was it just one of those walks where he was already so angry about his brother, so envious? Things maybe seemed to go well for Abel and not so good for him, or whatever things must have been going on between them as brothers. And maybe he didn't set out on that walk to kill him, but maybe it was just one more thing, you know, that his brother said that somehow was the final straw, and he killed him. And we read later that phrase that we've come to know, where God asks Cain, "Where's your brother?" And he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" So John makes reference to this. He knows that they know the story, and they understand, and there's this whole thing of hatred and what it is in terms of love. And I would say that one of the things that we could learn from this is that John is suggesting that love needs to be authentic. It needs to be wholehearted. It needs to be genuine. One of the things that God says to Cain when Cain is sulking because his offering has not been accepted, God warns Cain and says, "Sin is crouching at your door." And we can turn to Galatians chapter 5 and see some of those things that maybe were the attitudes of heart that were crouching at Cain's door. You know, all the things of selfishness and jealousy and anger, not getting along with people. And then we read of the fruits of the Spirit. When I read that passage and read that account and think about how do I love others, it reminds me that I need to be authentic. And it needs to be wholehearted. We could even say, using the Army's term, it needs to be boundless. It needs to be genuine, because God knows our hearts. And it also reminds me how easy it is for relationships to break down, because sin is crouching at all of our doors. Those little annoying things that sometimes come between people, and the pettiness. And, you know, hatred might seem to be, you know, so completely opposite to love that we kind of think maybe none of us carry hatred. But hatred is when you simply don't recognize the value of a person. And we know that there are times when it's so easy for us to do, to walk by people. CBC this morning had a whole segment on walking by people and how many times people are in need of help, are just ignored. And we don't mean to, but we're busy and we're in our own space and we're in our own thoughts. But this challenges me about how do I interact with the world? How do I love one another? Now, John has already said that this is a new commandment because of Jesus, and he comes back to that in verse 16, where he reminds us of Jesus' death and the sacrifice, that this was sacrificial love. In verse 16, we read, "We know what love is because Jesus gave his life for us. That's why we must give our lives for each other." That seems like a huge challenge, doesn't it? to say to you and I, okay, one of the marks of being a Christian is loving one another. And so each of us as followers of Jesus need to be prepared to lay down our life for others. And I think that one of the problems and the stumbling blocks, at least mine, when I think of that, is I think that I am supposed to look for that one heroic moment when I see something, an accident or something, and I am there ready to lay down my life. You know, I think of it, I wasn't a nervous mother, but I am a nervous grandmother sometimes. So when Chloe is beside me and then lets go of my hand and she sort of runs out, I would be right there. I would stop the car and I would save her. But that's not really what John is talking about. And he's not talking about martyrdom, and he's not talking about us kind of looking for sacrifice that is almost somebody abusing us. He is saying Jesus' death was transforming because it took you from death to life. Your love is to be transformative. And often, it's going to be in those day-by-day giving that are costly, that leave you weary, that leave you feeling like, yet again, I've put this first. And it's not heroic, and it's not over the top, and maybe nobody else will ever know that you have made a sacrifice of love, but God does. And that's what John is saying he asks of you and I. And then finally, John brings it back to what he's talked about so often, and that is obedience to God. He says in verse 24, if we obey God's commandments, we will stay one in our hearts with him. Obedience. I think as modern-day Christians, there's a sense in which we don't really like to sing those old songs of trust and obey. We sort of want to have that relationship with God where we can work out compromises, we can negotiate, where we want to say to God, you know, here's what I'm willing to do, and I just really want you to be cheering me on. And God says, I actually want your obedience. I want to know that you're going to follow me, that what I say you will follow. And sometimes we won't understand the path that he's leading us on and why we need to be obedient. But he promises in that verse, or John reminds us, that he's going to abide with us, and that's what makes the difference. That's what makes obeying one of joy. Because we know that he has our best at the heart of it all. He wants the very best for us. I wonder if you look at your life, and if John was to write about who you are in Christ, would he say to the church, look at Jillian, there's a mark of love in her life? There are times I'm not sure that he would. And what about yourself? Do you bear the mark of love? Because that makes the difference. That's what it is with Partners in Mission. Partners in Mission can take place here within our community here as we meet with people. The world is at our doorstep. And it can take place as you travel around. Love one another. There's a song that I would like us just to sing as we reflect and give an opportunity for God to speak into our hearts. It's 455, but I know it will be up on the screen. And it all begins with wanting to know His love. If we haven't experienced His love, His over-the-top, incredible love for us, then we can't begin to understand what it is for us to be obedient in loving one another. Savior, I want thy love to know that I in love may be like thee. Oh, let it now my heart o'erflow and live thy life in me. I give my heart to thee, thy dwelling place to be. I want thee ever in my heart. Oh, live thy life in me. Let's sing the first verse in the chorus as we just take a moment to ask God to speak to us.
So maybe we could ask you to play the melody over as we look at the words. This song is, of course, a prayer. It's us speaking to the Lord in response. And we've heard His word now. The call for us to love. So let's sing together the words of this. These words are really words where we're asking God in His Spirit to be in us and to move in us. And there may be, you may be feeling God speaking to you this morning. You know, in the Salvation Army, we have this bench here at the front, a place where if you want to come and publicly pray and have somebody pray with you, it's open to you. And it's available this morning now as we sing. We'll sing the third verse. I want thy wisdom from above, that I thy perfect way may see. Oh, live thy life in me. And again we sing that each verse. And if that's your desire this morning, speak to the Lord about it in your heart. And if you'd like to come and have somebody pray with you, this place is available to you. But let's sing together verse 3. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you're willing to come into our lives, that you're willing to live and change and work within our hearts. We've heard your word this morning, Lord, your command for us to love each other, to be willing to lay down our lives on a daily, mundane basis. Lord, speak to each one here. Show us what that means this afternoon and tomorrow and the day after. But more than that, Lord, we can't do it by ourselves, and we ask you to live your life in us. We thank you that this isn't just about us understanding things, but it's about your Spirit being present and giving us the power and ability to do things. And we ask you to live your life in us. So here we are, Lord. And we thank you that your grace and your mercy are realities for us. And so we bring this all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that last verse together as our final prayer. And as Christ lives his life in us, we then have the ability to be his witnesses. And our final song this afternoon, is number 832, if you're working with the books, but it'll be on the screen momentarily. Number 832. We're witnesses for Jesus. Where? Verse 1 says, in the haunts of sin and shame, in the underworlds of sorrow. Verse 2 says, in the lands beyond the sea. Verse 3 says, where? In the home and in the mart, in the marketplace, in the where we work. That's what verse 3 is about. But all verses end, are followed by the chorus. Tell the world, oh, tell the world, make salvation's story heard. In the highways, in the byways, in the lands beyond the sea. Do some witnessing for Jesus, wheresoever you may be. Not many of us are going overseas, but we're all going to be somewhere today, tomorrow. So let's stand together and let's sing the three verses through. We are come.
I want to say thank you to Jillian and Dennis for your terrific ministry this morning. I want to thank you for what you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in fulfilling your calling as Salvation Army officers in the various appointments you have. I want to thank Jillian for traveling around the world and making these incredible sacrifices to her mind, body, and spirit. And let's not forget that Dennis is at home keeping the home fires burning. And I have to tell you, that's a bit of a sacrifice, too, to see your spouse traveling the way you do. I say that quite seriously. It's a wonderful, wonderful sacrifice of love that you, too, give to the Lord every day as you fulfill your calling as a Salvation Army officer. And I just want to have a prayer with you. Can I? First of all, can we just have you step forward here for a moment? Just going to pray that God will pour his blessing upon your ministry in the days to come. Father God, we bring to you these, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, those who fulfill a common calling of Salvation Army officers and have given themselves to you in every way possible. I thank you for Dennis and for his work at THQ in very practical ways, and yet the way in which he uses those opportunities to share the love of Jesus Christ to everyone here. Thank you for the way in which he contributes to this body of Christ here at Scarborough. I pray for Jillian, Lord. I pray, first of all, you would touch her body as she prepares to do the work in your name, that you will heal her, that the poison that is thrusting through her body that's causing those difficulty even to speak, that you will relieve her from it. I thank you for the world that you've opened up to her and the incredible influence that she brings to bear. And thank you for the message that she brings back to this territory of ways in which we can help. And I pray that as she travels around the world, you will give her safe journey and freedom from illness and safety. We pray now, God, and we release these people, and we are grateful to you for the way in which they've ministered to us this morning. Bless them. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to give our spoken benediction. But before we do, can you just remember one thing? Take your pen out so you don't forget and sign up for next week. All right? Remember, next week we're going to have a very special time here of how we can actually operate in this world, because the world is coming to our feet. So sign up for the More Than Gold presentation for next week. Let's pray together. God, be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. God, be at my end and at my departing. Amen. And God bless you.